Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. I'm always encouraged when we are able to join together with one another in our time of worship and praise. A couple of announcements. This Wednesday, November the 6th, Champions, they're going to be having a fundraising night at Texas Roadhouse. So you take this little flyer, take it to Texas Roadhouse, and 10% is donated to the Licking County Champions Network. So yay! So let's show them our love and our support. Also, we are going to have a Friendsgiving at Vesper Hills. We did this last year. We had like over 70 people last year, didn't we? I mean, it was really, it's fun. I love it. Friendsgiving. That's what Thanksgiving's all about, isn't it? So Saturday, November the 23rd at 4, we're going to be at Vesper Hills for our Friendsgiving feast. And if you need a ride, we'll meet here at 3. So don't let that hinder you. If you need a ride out to Vesper Hills, just come and we'll pick you up at 3 and take you out there, okay? Bonfire, I'm going to be in charge of s'mores again because I was really good at it. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. Continue to pray for Dave and Peggy Moore. And also the Spunk family. Brad's in glory. Amen. And this morning, this particular Sunday morning, we celebrate All Saints Day, where we remember those that we've lost this past year. And we're also celebrating communion this morning. So we're glad that you're here. But this special Sunday, remembering those that are waiting for us, that are cheering us on with our Heavenly Father. Pray for Cynthia and Brad's family, especially our Greg, Mary, Marcia, and Jeff. Yes, we're glad that all of you guys have found a home here, and I thank God for that every day. You guys are special pieces of us. Sally. Lisa DeLong has a prayer for a growth. Okay. We've been praying for Pastor Jeff and Tina. He had a stroke in March, and we have been able to be part of the healing process. And when I mean that, but we have prayed diligently, we have petitioned God for his healing, and he has heard our prayers. And he continues to show progress. He continues to show healing. And one of the things I know Cheryl, and whenever we've talked to Tina, is let us know if there's anything that we can do. And they've had to make major changes, especially in their home with the equipment that Pastor Jeff needs. They've had to remodel a bathroom for him and for Tina to make it more accessible for him. But one of the things that Tina has said that he is needed now is a new walker. And it's called a Zen, and I don't have a picture. We're going to have it ready for you next week, but it's a Z-E-E-N walker. It's a very high-tech walker that's going to be able to help Pastor Jeff with his mobility, with his standing, because he's not really able to stand by himself yet. Falling is a risk for him. And so Tina has asked if we as their church family would be part of giving a love offering for Pastor Jeff for something that they need. And Cheryl and I talked, and we're just glad that she reached out to us. We love them so much. They're part of our church congregation still to this day. And the fruits that we are seeing are from the seeds that Pastor Jeff and Tina sowed here at Faith Church. And I can't wait. I'm hoping, they said that they're going to be coming in December. So I hope that those of you that haven't been able to meet Pastor Jeff and Tina, that gives you an opportunity to be able to meet Pastor Jeff and Tina. So there are envelopes in your pews. I put some of them in where your hymns are. Some of them might be at the end of your pews, but they have hearts on them. And so that's for us to distinguish that this is apart from our normal offering. This is a love offering for Pastor Jeff and Tina to help go towards the purchase of that walker for Pastor Jeff. okay? And we're gonna do this for a couple weeks to help with the cost of that walker, okay? And if you have any questions, see me after the service. I can, or Cheryl. Cheryl can help answer your questions about it too. So the hearts are the special offering for Pastor Jeff and Tina. Also prayer for our country, our nation. We've got a big election coming up this week, and we're gonna seek the Lord in his direction and his ultimate rule over all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Tina, keep Donna, Bobby's aunt. Let's go to the Lord. What an honor it is, Father God, that we are able to join together again as the body of Christ to worship and praise you. Each of us here this morning, Lord, are here because someone has told us about you. Someone told us about your Son, Jesus Christ, who offers us forgiveness and eternal salvation. And this morning, Lord, you call us to remember these saints. Those saints who helped mold us, those who helped us understand who you are and your great, great love for us, who went before us and sacrificed for the faith that we are now able to receive. And as the saints sing a joyful noise in your presence this morning, we come with grateful hearts to lift up our praise to you. And I pray our praise will be a joyful noise in your presence, a sweet, sweet fragrance, that the Holy Spirit is active among us, within us, touches our hearts in this special way this morning for your glory. I ask for your anointing to be upon the praise band as they share their spiritual gifts with us each and every week, as they lead us into this time of worship and praise, Father God, that they reflect your word as you would intend it to be. And I pray your word never falls void. Let us catch it up, receive it in our hearts and minds this morning, in order for us to live out our faith as saints that you've called us to be by your name, building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, Father God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. What is praise, church? Praise is not quiet. Hallelujah, my soul, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord all of my life. I will sing to my God as long as I live. Do not trust in nobles and a son of man who cannot save. When his breath leaves him, he returns to the ground. On that day, his plans die. Happy is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever, executing justice for the exploited, giving food to the hungry. The Lord frees the prisoners. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who are oppressed. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord protects the aliens and helps the fatherless and the widows, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever, for God reigns for all generations. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And that's right, praise is not quiet, so this is not our time to be quiet. Okay. Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Psalm 28, verses 5 through 8. They care nothing for what the Lord has done or for what his hands have made. So he will tear them down and they will never be rebuilt. Praise the Lord, for he has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart. He helps me, and my heart will be filled with joy. I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. The Lord gives his people strength. He is a safe fortress for his anointed king.
All right. Lead on.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we are gathered here in your name. And we know that no matter where we are in this world, you are there with us and for us. You sit beside us. You comfort us when we have needs. You are here in this sanctuary today as we read the names of the saints. They're with you, Lord. And we know that. And we're comforted by that. And we ask special blessing upon all the families here today, because the families are close and they're ours. So we thank you today for allowing us to give something back to you so that we can reach out and touch someone in your name in this wicked world we live in. And so we thank you for the gifts given today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's now the time of the service that we want to honor the saints that have left us from this world and are there with God and Jesus in heaven. We have roses on the table down here in honor of those members that have passed. But there's also extra roses in these vases. So the family members of the people that have passed, there's a rose for each of you, not just for the one person. So after the service is over, come and pick out a rose for yourself and take them with you. Beth Pryor. Wayne Layton. Glenn Warwick. Shirley Sprinkle. Monty Stallmaker. B.J. Richards. Brad Spum. And Big John Morey. I didn't grow up in this church from birth. But soon after Paula and I were married, I started coming and feel the warmth and the love of this church family. It became my family. It gave me an opportunity to come and to learn more about God our Savior. You know, I grew up in a church thinking, oh, I know most of this stuff. All kinds of things I don't know. And as I'm getting older, I'm finding out there are more things I don't know. We read through the Bible. I go to the chronological Bible study when I'm able to do so. But every time we read through it, there's something new that comes out. There's something new that comes to light. It's the living Word. It takes care of our needs in every way. So today, I encourage you to pick up your Bible. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the next day. And to search for the words that you need from him that day. Because they're there. They're there for all of us. So let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible." And ask God to encourage us and to help us through that. This is my Bible. It contains the word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
We're going to start this morning in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, it's in the Old Testament. We're going to be in chapter 6. Today, All Saints Day, we join a great tradition of believers who've walked before us, faithfully living out their devotion to God and love for others. And this day calls us to remember their lives as examples reflect on what Christ has done for us and renew our own dedication to live part of Christ's story. And I know for some of us in this congregation this morning, that loss is still raw. That loss is still fresh. And we lift you up in our thoughts and in our prayers, praying for your strength and acknowledging this morning how hard that journey has been. As we celebrate communion also this morning, we are drawn to the cross, to Christ's ultimate act of love, and we are invited to reflect on what he is doing within us, the hope that we have in his return. And in today's readings, help us to understand the journey as we look at the past, we look at our present, and we look at the hope that we have for our future. So it's only fitting that we start in the Old Testament, isn't it? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and we're going to start with verse 1. This is the command, the statutes, and the ordinances the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, so that you may follow them in the land that you are about to enter and possess. Do this so that you may fear the Lord your God all the days of your life by keeping all his statutes and commands I am giving you, your sons, your grandsons, and so that you may have a long life. Listen, Israel, and be careful to follow them so that you may prosper and multiply greatly, because the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you a land flowing with milk and honey. Listen, Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words that I am giving you today are to be in your heart. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Bind them as a sign on your hand and let them be a symbol on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your city gates. And may God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. In Deuteronomy, Moses is delivering this powerful command to the nation of Israel before they're going into their promised land. He wants them to be sure, to know what it is to live a life marked by God, to love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Love your Lord. And this is not that superficial love. We love the word love, don't we? I love the word love. I love Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal. Oh, fried chicken. Oh, but that's a good love. That's the love. Not superficial love. We like to throw that word love around, you know, way too much. Oh, I love it. I love fall, sweater weather. It's not that committed love. It's not the love that you're going to die for, is it? It's not the love that you're going to risk your life for, is it? Like the love for your kids. It's a different love. A way of life meant to shape each moment. A way of life meant to shape your decisions. A way of life meant to shape your relationships. And as we remember the saints who've gone before us, we see examples of lives shaped by God's love, by a life lived loving God. The saints took this command to heart, living faithfully, sometimes at a great cost. They were people like you and me. We're talking about not just saints that we've talked about this morning, but the saints that built the church, the saints that walked the way of God all the way into the New Testament. The saints that built this church has always been on that part of town. We have always ministered, they called them hobos, back when this church first was founded. They were the transient people of the railroad. This church has always ministered to the lost souls wandering around the east side of Newark. We've always been on that side of town, church. That's our history. That's our faith. And look at us. Look what those saints did. We are still carrying out that mission of the saints that built this church. No matter what we've gone through, we've been through some stuff, church. We laugh. I don't say it lightly, right? Past couple of years, we've been through a lot. And it's that strength. It's that commitment that the people before us dug their heels down. They didn't care what label everybody else gave them as that side of church, church. They kept going. They persevered because of their love of God, their faithfulness to God, the strength that God gave them to continue out the mission of building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, no matter what. And we've been through it. A pandemic and a disaffiliation, all in a 3-year span. Plus, you got a woman preacher. He just threw that in there for the heck of it. He just threw that in there. That was the wild card of God. I'm going to give them something they haven't had yet. They've had pandemics before. They've had a disaffiliation or a transfer before. They've been through that, but all that woman preacher, they've not had that. I'll give it to them. But it's the saints giving us that example of a life lived saying yes to God, saying yes, I'm going to love him with all my heart. Yes, I'm going to love him with all my soul. And yes, I'm going to love him with all my strength. And this is what it looks like. Our next scripture is going to be coming to us from Hebrews. And another point about this passage in Deuteronomy, when we celebrate communion this morning, we're called to remember. A time to remember Christ's sacrifice for us. The saints who followed him with devotion by coming to the table this morning, we recommit to living a life marked by saying yes to God. Saying, yes, I'm going to love you with everything that I have, and I'm going to be an example of that love to everybody that I meet. And it's a meal that unites us across generations as we share in this sacred act, affirming our place in this story. Because this isn't just a table that's set for the people that have gone before us, that was set for the 12 disciples. This is a table God has set for each one of us. You, me, believers of Jesus Christ, but it's also those that, you know what? Jesus is drawing you in by his grace. And even if you don't think you have a place at this table, God says you do. And there's a place for you. He's made room enough for you. And it continues to grow. And Hebrews 9 is where we will be traveling next. Hebrews 9, verses 11 to 14. I love this. But Christ has appeared as a high priest for the good things that have come. In the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of creation, he entered the most holy place once and for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of young cows sprinkling those who are defiled sanctified for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our conscience from dead works so that we can serve the living God. Therefore, he is the mediator for a new covenant so that those who are called might receive the promise of the internal inheritance because a death has taken place for redemption, for the transformation committed under the first covenant. When this letter was written to the Hebrews, there were a lot of new Christians living in a time of persecution, oppression. They were being starved to death because of their commitment to Jesus Christ. They were losing their jobs, they were losing their homes, and they were thinking to themselves, is this really worth it? Is this faith in Jesus Christ really worth this? And so the author of Hebrews wrote this letter of encouragement to them. And we're reminded of the enormous sacrifice Jesus made on our behalf. The writer describes how Christ entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, obtaining eternal redemption. Because before Christ, they'd have to do their sacrifices with a sheep, a goat, a calf. And it was constant, because guess what? We're constantly sinning, aren't we? So were they. And it said that Christ entered the most holy place. And like the repeated sacrifices of old, Christ's offering was final, complete, cleansing us from sin and renewing us to serve God, saying yes to Jesus Christ. It is not just for your eternal salvation, but it's for your eternal salvation here, living on this side of heaven as well. And is it worth it? Could you live this life without Christ? Your friend that's closer to you like no other, that knows everything about you, everything you've done, and yet he still loves you so much that he died on the cross and shed his blood for you. And he says, I'm never going to leave you and I'm never going to forsake you. Nothing is going to change my mind about you. The saints understood that Jesus' sacrifice wasn't just a historical event that was going to go down in history. It was a transformative reality, something they lived every day of their life. Every day they lived Christ's redemption. Because of Christ, they were set free from the grip of sin and empowered to live a life of faith and service. And we think our lives are hard. Right now, we live in one of the greatest countries on this planet. We don't know persecution for Christ. We don't. We might get taunted a little bit. Oh, are you Miss Little Goody Two Shoes? Right? Oh, you're so fake. You're so phony. Oh, you think you're perfect. You think you're perfect. Okay, we might have to deal a little bit with that. But I'm talking about the camps in China they send you to. They're trying to get your mind, you know, brainwashing you to forget. We don't know that kind of persecution. We don't know what it is to sacrifice for Christ. Communion, they held fast to this hope, even in hardship, knowing that nothing could separate them from the love of God shown on the cross. And this morning, as we partake of communion, we remember and we proclaim Christ's death, honoring the price he paid to set us free. And we acknowledge, like the saints before us, that we too are forgiven and we are freed. Amen? That it wasn't just for that part of time, that wasn't just a historical event, it was for us living in this time and in this place. And communion becomes an opportunity to renew our life, that freedom, serving God and loving others. And finally, we're going to be in Mark chapter 12. Mark 12, verse 28. One of the scribes approached, and when he heard them debating and saw that Jesus answered them well, he asked him, which command is the most important of all? And Jesus answered, the most important is, listen, O Israel, love the Lord your God. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other command greater than these. Then the scribe said to him, "You are right, teacher. You've correctly said that he is one, and there is no one else except him. And to love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is far more important than all the burnt offerings and the sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And no one dared to question him any longer. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is asked which commandment is most important. And Jesus goes back. He goes back to the beginning, where Moses is telling the Israel nation what is most important: loving God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your spirit. And then he adds, and when you do that, love others. That's how you show that you're mine and that I'm yours. Is to be Christians, we are to be marked by love. It's a visible, tangible expression of our faith that the world can see. It's Christ's light shining through us, where we're able to become a saint. We're all saints. When we say yes to Jesus Christ, and when our lives are marked by the love God has for us, and we mark other people's lives by that same love, we become the saints. And it says, he replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart." He adds that this command, love your neighbor as yourself, is the essence of God's kingdom. And what are we doing? What's our mission? What's our angle? Building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We can't do it. We can't do it without love, without loving God first, without seeking his kingdom first. And we can't do it without loving others and bringing them into the fold, can we? And when we do that, his kingdom is here. The essence of his kingdom becomes reality. All those that have gone before us at Faith Church, with the Christians of the New Testament, the saints understood that following Jesus is about embodying love, both for God and each other, and their lives were marked by those acts. And Jesus, it's not changed, is it? He was the same yesterday, he's the same today, and he's going to be the same tomorrow. This is something that is timeless. It's foundational. It's never going to change. It didn't for the Old Testament people. It didn't change for the New Testament Christians, and we're considered New Testament Christians, church. It's not changed for you either. Loving God with all you have and loving others. It's not changed. And in this passage, Jesus tells that when we love God and others, we are not far from the kingdom of God. I want the kingdom of God more and more, it feels like every day. I turn on the TV or you open up Facebook and you watch some of the things that's going on in this world. I need the kingdom of God to be nearer and nearer to me every day of my life. Gracious God. But guess what? So do all these people out here that don't know, that are walking in darkness, and they don't even know it. They don't even recognize it. We're called. That's what we're called. The kingdom of God is near to you. And this points us forward to the time when his kingdom will come in his fullness, when Jesus returns in his glory. Amen. We look forward to hearing those trumpets. And just as the saints place their hope in Christ, we also, with great anticipation, place our hope in that. Each act of love and service we offer becomes a foretaste of his coming kingdom. Do you understand that? Being ambassadors for Christ is a foretaste. When we show God's love, when we know God's love, when we express God's love, it is a foretaste of the kingdom we will experience in heaven, but we can make it here on this earth. That's our call. It's a time of remembrance of what Christ has done, celebrating what he continues to do in our lives. He hasn't stopped yet, has he, church? No matter what people have said that don't belong to this church, they have a lot to say about us, don't they? They don't even know. They don't come. They don't know what's going on here. They have opinions. They got a lot to say about what's going on here. Can't believe they're still there. Oh, that's going to hurt. All they're suffering, all they're struggling. They don't know what God's doing. Has he not been so good to us, church? We continue. And what is it? What is the difference? Why? Because we have had saints that have taught us before us, God, he is our heart, he's our mind, he's our strength. And we continue to do what he's called us to do. That's the difference. And then we're looking forward to what he's going to do. What he's going to do, whether it's going to be what this church is going to do, but ultimately when he returns and we get to be with the saints that have gone before us. I can't wait. I can't wait for you to meet some of the people that you've not been able to meet from this church. Mary Hobbs. I mean, I just thought about her this morning. Mary Hobbs, you'd love her. She was the sweetest thing. She loved Jesus. Melvina, Betsy, thought about the girl from Sunday school class. Mrs. Conrad, Paul and Paula's mom. I can't wait for you to meet them. They were so precious. And they weren't afraid to get you back in line either. They weren't. They weren't afraid. But I can't wait for you to meet them because you would just love them. And they would just love you. They would just shower you with their love. That's why I'm here. I am a walking, breathing testimony of the love of God at this church that all the saints had shown me and raised me up. And I'm just so glad that you're part of it too. I praise God. Praise God that you're here to carry on their tradition. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Such a privilege, don't we? Let's pray before we take communion, church. Father God, we thank you for this time, this day of remembrance of the people that have gone before us, the saints of your church, the saints of Jesus Christ, that they heard about your son. They heard about what he did on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins. They heard about the empty tomb on the third day, that he rose again for our redemption. They heard it and they became proclaimers. And in their proclaiming, it came to us. Over generations, it came to us. And because of your gift of grace, because of your gift of faith, we've come to believe. We come to believe that it's true. And we accept it as our own. And this morning, as we come to your table, this table that you've prepared for us to remind us of Christ, to remind us of his death, to remind us of his blood, we come to receive this spiritual food to strengthen us for our journey that you've called us to do as your saints, as believers in Jesus Christ, building your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. We need the spiritual food, Lord, to love you with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our spirit, and to love others. Because sometimes that seems to be so hard to do, but it was so easy for you. It's so easy for you. Help us, strengthen us in our weakness. And we come to this moment, this silent moment, as we self-reflect, giving, admitting, repenting of this our sin before we come to this table. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive us of the things that we've done, but also the things that we failed to do to glorify your kingdom, to be your light in this world that needs it so much. Help us, strengthen us, and teach us. And may this bread become your body, and this juice become your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. When Christ died, he took the 12 up to the upper room. He gathered them. He raised the bread, and he said, "This is my body that is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took it and he blessed it and he broke it. His body broken for you. And then he raised the cup and he gave thanks for it. And he said, "This is my blood poured out for you for the forgiveness of your sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Now this morning, you do not have to be a member of this church or any other church. It's just like God's grace. It is freely given. But what you do have to believe is that Jesus was the Son of God, that he did die on the cross for your sin, and that he raised on the third day for the redemption of your life. That's all you have to do. You are welcomed at the Lord's table to receive his body and his blood. Amen. 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 Father God, surrendering our life, surrendering our soul, our mind, and our strength to love you, to serve you, to be reflections of Christ's hands, his feet, and his love into this world. We surrender. We surrender ourselves. We surrender our plans. We surrender what we think is the right, the good, what you want us to do, because your way is better. And we know it. Your love is better. Your love is sweeter. Your love is so much more complete than what our love, our humanness, can be. So complete us in your love, so that we may be vessels able to carry out that love to others as we build your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven that you've called us to do. And we just thank you so much for those that have gone before us that have given us these examples. Remind us of them, that we may glorify you all the more, Lord, of the people that you've sent into this world, that you've sent into our lives to be examples of saints living out your purpose and your love. In Jesus' name we say these things. Amen. And also one final prayer request that I have, please. Paul is going to be having a shoulder surgery on Tuesday. So pray for Paul. My right-hand guy. We need him. Amen. We thank you. Thank you. But God bless you. You walk out these doors, you act like you have a daddy who cares. He loves you so much. We're called to love him with all our heart, all our heart, mind, and strength, and to love each other. Amen. Because we are marked by his love. Amen. Amen. Amen.